Good morning. Am I on? Yeah, we're all good. So a warm welcome to you all there. I hope, thank you for inviting me back, by the way. It's always nice to come back. I like coming back here. We're going to have a look. If you don't know me, the first time you've seen me, my name is Christian Walsh. School, and don't hold that against me if you don't like maths, or Tewkesbury School for that matter, I don't know either. But there we are. So I'm going to have a look at a few things. It's interesting when you notice how God's moving on things, because a lot of things you've been singing into or talking about already have come up in the talk. I'm going to start off, before we even get into this, with a little story. I watched a little bit of a documentary. This was years ago. It was only a little bit about Victoria Beckham, so I wasn't interested at all, but it was just following her around, and I just happened to catch these 10 minutes. And in this little scene, these Christians came up to Victoria Beckham, and they said, "Oh, you really need to become a Christian, Victoria, because you know it would be really good for your life. You have so much more peace, so much more love, so much more joy." And she replied, "Oh, thank you very much, but I've got all the love and the joy that I need." And it was quite interesting because she missed out the word peace. And I don't know if she did that deliberately, or whether she didn't even catch it, or whatever. But it actually made me think, because all she picked up on was the words love and joy, and she completely missed on this word peace. And it's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the concept of peace. I want to talk about what it is, because I think we forget what we've got when we've got God. We forget what we actually have. And obviously these Christians were quite keen on mentioning it to her, and she didn't almost seem to have a clue what it was all about. But what we're going to look at is the way it works in two ways. If you just put up the first verse, which comes from Isaiah 53 verse 5. We'll have a look at this. It's the gospel message, really, which says this: "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed." This is obviously talking about Jesus. "He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." We can reduce the gospel very, very easily to Jesus died for you so you can go to heaven. And that's true. He did die so we could go to heaven. But it is so much more than this. And it's important to look at these verses, in verse 5 especially, to know that it's so much more. What Jesus has won for us, the inheritance that he's won for us, is so much more. It's an inheritance that can never perish and can never fade. And we must learn really to walk in this, to understand what it really is. Because a major part of our inheritance is peace. It's that shalom, which I'm sure, heard of before. And it comes in two ways. First of all, it's peace with God. And second of all, is peace, it's the second piece, which we'll talk about in a second, which I would really probably want to measure more than anything. But Jesus' death on the cross, first and foremost, brought us peace with God. That means that it's restored a relationship with us, probably that you've heard a million times already, but it's worth mentioning again. It's restored a relationship that is so full, a full connection with him. So that means that it's totally close relationship, an intimate relationship. There's no barriers ever between us and God, unless we decide to put them up. But there's never any barriers. They've been taken down by his death on the cross. They've gone. Peace with God, straight away. It means that God is working for us. It means that he is always looking out for our good, constantly looking to refresh us, constantly looking to restore us, constantly renewing us every minute of the day. This is a peace that causes his spirit to flow into our hearts all the time. And you can't really spend enough time focusing on that part of it. But secondly, it's an inner peace as well. It's an inner peace that makes us whole on the inside. If you actually start exploring the word, it's fascinating to look at. It gives us tranquility, it makes us content, it makes us safe. It's a peace that brings calm to our hearts. It helps to restore our souls, gives us good emotions. That's nice, isn't it? I think that's lovely. It makes us emotionally rested on the inside. It's a peace completely independent of circumstances. That's crucial. This is what he's offering. This is the whole package. And it's the peace that God has caused to live inside of us, and that no bad thing can take away. It has a strength and a steel which stands us tall when everything around us is falling apart. It protects and secures our hearts and minds. It is our inheritance, and it is our right. And I know we don't always walk in it, but we are going to look at that a little bit more today. I want to look at that a little bit more today, because there is so much that can try and rob it from us. And it's important that we understand how to live in that inheritance, to own that inheritance, to own that right. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, Peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're always experiencing peace to some degree or other. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we are. We always have it. If you're a Christian today, you are always experiencing God's peace on some level or other. You might not think you are right now, but you are. Right now, there is a degree of peace in your life that you are enjoying, you are experiencing. My wife, before we were married, she suffers with eczema. She gets eczema to a fair degree, and she went through a particularly bad year just when I proposed, funnily enough. I don't think those two are connected, I hope they're not, but straight after I proposed she went through a bad year of eczema, she was going out to the front, she's getting prayer for it, nothing was happening, it's just the same, she's getting, you know, really, really bad. She was finding it tough. It was a tough year for her in that respect. And I remember sat with her one evening, and she said, "It feels like God's not here. It feels like God's not helping at all. I don't understand what's going on. It feels really like this is just rubbish. I really, really, really don't understand what's going on. I don't feel like I'm getting any better with this thing at all." And she was feeling really bad at the time. When she spoke that out, she went from feeling bad to absolutely dreadful. I don't think I've ever heard her weep so bad at that moment, before or since. It was like all of a sudden she went from feeling bad to feeling despair in the space of a second. And about a minute later, I think I realised what had gone on. I said, you just repent, just say sorry to God, just, you know, say, you tell him that, you know, you recognise he's still with you. And immediately she felt a lot better, and her peace came back. And I think what happened at that moment, it was like God was like, for 30 seconds, he just went, let me just show you how much I've been with you. Let me just show you. You don't think I've been with you. I'll just show you. For 30 seconds, I'll just give you a brief glimpse of what it would have been like had I not been with you right now. Had I not been walking with you right the way through this moment of your life. And just at that moment, she felt what it would have been really like. What it would have really felt like had God not been with her every step along the way. How he'd been holding her all the way through that year. Had he been picking her up all the way through that year. Just for those 30 seconds, she just felt it, and she felt horrible. And then after those 30 seconds, she wasn't healed. It would be a great story to say, and all of a sudden, she went back to the normal circumstances, but she got there, you know. She just was like, oh, I've been feeling a lot more peace than I fully recognise. God's been strengthening me a lot more than I fully recognise. We are always experiencing a lot more peace than we reckon. The people of the world, the people that don't know this, they have to go through this on their own. They have to go through the world on their own. They have to go through life and all of its troubles without the peace of God. And we'll never be able to fully compare that like for like, because we've always got that support. We've always got that help. We've always got God with us. Even when we don't fully intellectually recognize it, even when we don't fully go, yeah, I know God's with me, because, you know, frankly, he doesn't feel like it. Even then, God's still never abandoning us. He's never leaving us. He's never forsaking us. He's always going to be walking with us in every part of this. And it was quite an interesting reminder in that one little story. So what is it that keeps the peace really flowing? And that's what I wanted to explore. So how long have I got? 20 minutes, 15 minutes left? I don't know. How does it work here? I'll go fast. Condemnation is one of the biggest ones, which will take it away from you. Okay? Very, very quickly, I'll go through this. There are many times when you feel guilty. Do you ever feel guilty in your life? Yeah, good. Well, I shouldn't. We can feel guilty and we're not even sure why. Now, if you're feeling guilty and you've not repented, do repent. That's quite a good advice straight away. But if you're feeling guilty and you've got this vague sense that you're not worthy, you've got this vague sense that you're not feeling good enough, that you're not doing good enough, you're not being good enough, you've got this vague feeling that you're not smart enough, you're not strong enough, or you're missing the mark somewhere, that's condemnation. That's not God. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's speaking to us about stuff that we're missing, where we're missing the mark, it's really clear. In fact, he speaks to us in an inspirational way. He speaks life into us, and he says, see this here, we'll sort this out now. But when it's that heavy feeling, when it's that guilty feeling, when it's that I'm not quite getting it right enough yet, that's not from God. That's condemnation. And that is a big, big thing that robs us of our peace. That is a massive thing that comes in and just takes things away from us. That's not from God. And it gets rid of the... Well, it can disconnect us if we're not careful, because it makes us go under this cloud of guilt and we're walking around feeling rubbish about ourselves and we're not even sure why. It's just this weird feeling. And there is a wonderful verse in the Bible, in Romans 8 verse 1, which I think we keep on going. I think this whole thing has been interesting, actually, because every time we sang a new song, it felt like I was bringing out one of the verses that I'd already mentioned. But it says this: there is no condemnation now for those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation whatsoever. No guilt. Once you've repented, that's it. We don't have to feel guilty about these not feeling good enough, not feeling smart enough, not feeling strong enough. All of that, it goes. I've gone through enough times when other people have made me feel condemned. Other people have made me feel, just by criticism. Do you ever get criticised? Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? And we get criticised. I've gone through it. I've gone through, you know, you were talking about Donald Trump before. Imagine someone like that. I had to deal with someone like that more recently, and they were just, heavily critical of most things I did. I was feeling condemned a lot of the time. I didn't even know why. And I remember God saying to me, you've not done anything. There's no condemnation. That's what he spoke. That's why I was felt really clear. And I spoke it out, and immediately, bang, it had lifted. And I had peace back in my heart. It's important truth. A really, really important truth. If you've got that vague, guilty feeling, or that vague feeling of I'm not worthy enough, I can't do it enough, speak this stuff out. I have not got any condemnation. There is no condemnation for me. I'm in Christ Jesus. You'll feel all these stuff lift off us. Because it's our inheritance to walk in peace. So these are key truths I'm trying to give us here that enable us to feel empowered to walk in this. Another massive one is forgiveness. Jesus' key message, forgiveness, really. In Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, Peter comes up to Jesus. He says to him, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Which is, I had a little giggle again when that was mentioned. Now, that's not to do, we're not doing maths now, obviously. I'm not going to test you on how much 70 times 7 is. What Jesus is referring to is it wasn't supposed to be 490 times that you're supposed to forgive, but it was supposed to be actually an infinite number of times were to forgive. Now, if you read through the story, or the parable, effectively it gets to the end. And the message really is that we remain in prison. We remain in an emotional prison and a spiritual prison if we don't forgive. If we don't release other people that have upset us, and I'm afraid we go through a world where other people will upset us and will be nasty towards us and will be quite horrible. Even in twinning, I'm sure you have to put up with that every now and again. And so it's really, really important. Forgiveness flows from God. And it's in the Bible because it's good for us. Psychologists have even discovered this. It's amazing. There is now something that you can have called forgiveness therapy. Because they've worked out that if you forgive people, then you flourish much better in life than if you don't. Now, I think that's pretty cool. Because Jesus knew about that 2,000 years ago and he was kind of big on the issue. But yeah, you get it. The world's kind of catching up a little bit here. And it's going, actually, rather than giving you thousands of hours of counselling, we could just go straight into the forgiveness therapy and we can get there a lot faster. There's a lot of stuff. And it brings us out of an emotional prison when we do it. And Jesus was very, very keen on us knowing this and clear on it. And it brings back our peace. Because when we don't forgive, then we do get disconnected from the flow of God. But when we bring that forgiveness in, when we forgive people, obviously it helps. That restores relationship if necessary. But even when I forgive, I'm doing it selfishly a lot of the time, I think, because I know it's good for me. You know, I think, well, I just need to get myself feeling better. It's not easy. I'm not giving you, oh, you're supposed to forgive, off you go. It depends on what you've endured. But Jesus meets us exactly where we are. And wherever you are right now, he will empower us all to forgive us, or to forgive other people, rather, if we're willing to release the hurts in our hearts. So if you're thinking, well, actually, that was something really, really difficult I've gone through there, I don't know whether I can forgive. Jesus never asks us ever to do these things by ourselves. He always, always promises us the power to do it. He will always meet us exactly where we are. So if we say, all right, I would like to forgive, I know it's in the Bible to forgive, but I can't feel the power within me to do that, then Jesus will enable us to do that. If we ask him, say, God, would you help me to forgive this person? It might be a process, it might take a while, but he will enable us and empower us to forgive the people that have upset us the most. A few years back, I had to work in a group within a group of people, and I felt quite belittled by these people. They made me feel like my ideas wouldn't work. They made me feel quite useless. In fact, and it did upset me quite a bit. And I felt challenged by God to forgive them, because I thought, I don't know, if you go through life and you think, well, I've dealt with it, I'm all right, everything's okay, I don't think I've got anything to do with it. And then a while later, God was like, well, you haven't forgiven these people at all from what they, how they upset you. And I suppose when God says it must be true. So I was before God, and I must have forgiven them, because immediately I felt this release. Immediately I felt this fresh connection with God. Immediately I felt this fresh peace fill my heart. And it's important that we stay open to God in these ways, and important to know, is there anybody that I need to forgive? It's a major, major one that Jesus spoke a lot on. But as well as having the peace, and it is the major part of this, it also gave me a greater belief that I could do the job that I was supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? Because I'd stopped believing that I could do this, because these people were always going, no, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. And the minute I forgave them, the minute I released them, the minute I said, right, okay, well, everything they've said against me, I forgive them. God just restored into me that belief that actually I could do this. I can do this. Why on earth was I believing I couldn't? It's a huge hindrance, but it is such an amazing thing. Overwhelmed. I don't know if you ever feel overwhelmed. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Ever? Yeah? A few nods of their heads. This is where everything crowds in. Depends on how many kids you've got, I think. Everyone's just crowding. Demanding our attention. I think it's easy to sink. But it depends. I mean, everything's got different things going on in your life as well. It depends on you. Everyone's got their pressures. Jesus has said this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There is a strength. I've always mentioned this. It's a steely peace. It's not a fluffy feeling. We're not talking about fluffy feelings here. But it's a peace that empowers us to overcome the stuff that the world chucks at us. So, because Jesus is more powerful than any of it, and his peace inside of us can help us overcome any mountain we may find ourselves facing, then we can rely on him for these things. I have to do this at school a lot of the time. If there's classes that I love teaching, there's some classes that are more challenging. And so I will just keep on saying, just keep on reminding myself that Jesus is with me. And it's amazing as I do that the job just becomes a lot easier and more enjoyable, in fact. I want to make this really clear, because this next thing is really on my heart. It's something I've noticed a lot. God is good even when our circumstances aren't. Okay? And this is something which I've noticed, where people seem to flounder a bit. They look at circumstances to see how good God is. Does that make sense? You look at circumstances to see, is God being good to me at the moment? Because if he was, then why is all this happening? Why is this all going wrong? Because, it's not being very nice to me at the moment, is he? that's the kind of mentality we got. We kind of almost get our understanding of who God is from what's going on in the world. Yeah, so that's gone good. So God is good today. That's not good, gone good, so maybe he's not. And we almost start filtering the world and projecting onto God what's going on in our circumstances. Now, we just read, Jesus said we will have trouble. It kind of just, you know, it's not a promise. It's not like, you know, good news. But at the same time, he's saying, look, you've got to be prepared for this. It's going to happen. It wasn't a case of you become a Christian and nothing bad is ever going to happen ever again. Become a Christian and I'm going to make sure that everything works exactly as it's supposed to. Become a Christian and all of your circumstances will be fantastic. He doesn't say that. He says, you're going to have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. And I think sometimes, certainly Western Christianity, can be very much a case of become a Christian and everything's going to be amazing. And a lot of it is. A lot of what we can have is amazing, but our circumstances aren't always amazing. And it's really important that we don't think that God has deserted us if life isn't easy. It's important to know, because it's hard to trust God if you think he's to blame. And I've come across this quite a bit, where God gets the blame for stuff. I don't know why, but he does. He gets blamed for a whole load of things. He doesn't help. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's not coming in. But he is helping. He is good. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. Even when our circumstances don't look like they are evident of that. It's when we have to use our faith. In this world, we will have troubles. And then he says, but don't let your heart be troubled. Now, that's interesting. In this world, you will have many troubles. But don't let your heart be troubled. It's like we can pull out of what's going on of the world and what's going on around us and say, hang on a second, Jesus is saying, we will have trouble, but inside we don't have to actually be troubled. Does that make sense? We don't actually have to allow our circumstances to affect how we are on the inside. The peace of God is the thing that keeps us sound and safe in all of this. In Philippians 4 verse 6, Paul wrote, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I love that. I really do. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And maybe I'll change the circumstances. But more than anything, our hearts will remain in peace. To remain in peace, it's important to trust God with the worries and the fears that attack us in this world. To give them over in prayer and entrust them to his hands. Whatever happens after that, they're in his hands. Whatever happens now, God's got them, and we can just leave them with him as much as we can. He does answer prayer, and I'm sure that's why we don't bother praying if he doesn't. He answers prayer. But God doesn't promise that every one of our circumstances will become perfect. And peace is not attained. Peace is definitely not attained by every one of our circumstances becoming perfect. Peace comes from knowing that God is with us at all times. And that, if you're not going to get anything out of this message, just please get that. Peace doesn't come from all of our circumstances being perfect. Peace comes from knowing that God is with us at all times. And if we know that, we can walk through any storm. We can walk through anything. It says in the Bible, do not fear, over 100 times. Which probably makes it quite an important message. Yeah? You don't write in your Bible. If you're going to write a big book to the people that you created, yeah? If you're going to have do not fear in there, you're going to write something that many times. You know, you're going to be quite, yeah, something that you want to make sure that people have understood. But straight after that, do not fear, nearly every time it says, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am with you, declares the Lord. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Nearly every time, there's your solution. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. Whatever we have to go through, wherever we're at, and it can be horrible times. If we know that God is with us, if we have that revelation on the inside that He is next to us in everything that we go through, if we hold on to that, then we can walk through the worst of storms upright with peace reigning in our hearts. And that is absolutely crucial. A few years ago, when I worked in insurance, they were going to change. I was on the verge of changing my job. It was going to be forced. It was a forced change, and I was worried. It might not seem like a big worry to you, but it was a massive worry to me. It was all I could think about at the time. And I remember walking through Cheltenham at the time, because that's where I was working. Quite stressed, quite worried about everything that was going to happen. It meant a change of location. It meant that I was moving away from Cheltenham to a different area of the world. Well, not world, but country. I remember just walking into the post office, actually. I don't know why. It's not important to the story. But I'm queuing up in the post office, and I just prayed to God. I was like, God, I'm just going to give you this. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the future. I don't know what you intend for it. I have no idea. But I give you this whole situation right now. I pray about it right now. Just give it to you. I didn't pray out loud, because that would make me look weird. But I just gave it to God. And I just felt it all just lift. All of this stress, all of this burden, all of this heaviness just lifted, and I was light. The circumstances hadn't changed, but my heart wasn't troubled anymore. Are you with me? Yeah, I still had to go through all of that. I started to go through that bit there, but I could go through it with a lightness inside rather than this heaviness that I was actually going through at the time. And that's God's massive message. There is a messy world that we have to walk through, but we don't have to walk through it heavy. We can walk through it light with Him inside of us, knowing that there's someone to trust in. And that's the massive, massive thing I want us to get from this. If you want to be prayed for, I will pray for anything. But obviously the message today was peace. But if you want, you know, someone to stand with you as well, or you want somebody to forgive or whatever, then that's good. But if I can just pray right now to finish this off, then that'd be great. Dear Lord God, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're with us in everything that we do. Lord God, whether we can feel You or not, whether we can recognize it or not, Lord Jesus, we pray right now. I pray right now for each person in this room that we have a greater sense of Your presence, a greater sense that You're walking with us in the hardest of times, Lord God, a greater sense of Your peace inside. And Lord God, would You work through each and every heart, Lord God, that will enable us to trust You with the burdens of our day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, we are going to do one final song, I believe, which is Oh, the Mercy of God.